Jesus went up and had this incident, which we now remember as the cleansing of the temple. It's estimated that the population of Jerusalem would swell from 50,000 to 180,000 for Passover. Can you imagine what the atmosphere must have been like? The crowds, the confusion, the noise, and the smells. When you think of that incident, when Jesus went to the temple, it wasn't as if he went to a building like a church, not even like a busy cathedral. In fact, people didn't go into the temple at all. They went into the temple precincts. And it would have been a place of blood and dirt, a bit like an abattoir with all of the animals being sold and being killed. All of that was essential for the religion to take place as it had been prescribed in the Torah. Unblemished animals being offered for sacrifice. And of course, coins being exchanged to buy the animals. And not just ordinary coins, but they used Tyrian coins as commanded by the Mishnah, because they couldn't use the ordinary coins. And so they had to have a money-changing process going on. As the pilgrims came in and brought their money, they'd have to change it into acceptable money to be used in the temple. And so they had this weighing of the money and the changing. And I don't think it was unacceptable for people to charge interest for that. It was just part of what had to take place to enable the system to go on. So why was Jesus annoyed at the animals being there if it was commanded by God to offer sacrifice? Why was Jesus upset? I'm guessing, but I can imagine some of the activities that would have been taking place. I can imagine the people bringing their animals, travelling huge distances to come to sacrifice. And I can imagine the priests looking at the animals, checking them over to see whether they were acceptable. Remembering the priests would have benefited from the animals afterwards. This was their dinner. And they'd be dealing in the dead meat. Then people trying to buy animals for sacrifice being told that they were not good enough. People trying to convert their money into acceptable coins and perhaps arguing about how much would have been charged. And then think of the poor animals bleating and screaming, trying to escape their certain death. Over 100,000 pilgrims in the city, 180,000. Think how many animals there would have been. Hundreds, perhaps thousands. Think of the noise, the smell, the shouting and the waving of hands. I was trying to imagine a scene and what would have been comparable to that. And I was thinking of the money changes on the stock market. Can you remember how they wave their hands, don't they? They do all this and waving. And I was thinking it was the temple would probably have been a mix between that stock exchange dealing in money and Crufts. All manner of trouble breaking out. And I can guess that the ones who suffered in the whole process were the ones who were least well off, the ones who could least afford it. It's a messy, bloody business. And so Jesus goes in and he doesn't like it. And he uses this cord and he drives people out. But there's more going on than Jesus taking a dislike to that. What we see is Jesus taking a dislike to the whole system itself. And it's very important to see that Jesus isn't just criticizing abuse of the system, but he's actually wanting to change the whole system itself. At the very beginning of the passage, it doesn't quite come across in our translation of the Bible, the NIV. We read in the NIV, we read the Jewish Passover, but it's actually the Passover of the Jews. And I think, yes, sorry, is that my 3-minute warning? Yeah. Sam said he'd cough when I got to that stage. Not, he really did. That was Neil, that did count. The NIV phrase, the Jewish Passover, doesn't bring in the them and us theme that you get in the original, where it says the Passover of the Jews. You see, when you say the Passover of the Jews, it's almost like their Passover, the Passover they had. And of course, John's writing from a position where the Christians have moved outside that system. It's no longer their Passover. That was the Passover of the Jews. Now we don't have that Passover anymore, do we? We've moved on, it's changed. The Passover festival was a wonderful sign for the Jews of their national identity. a wonderful picture of the salvation of God. But of course, our salvation no longer depends upon that. We don't have a Passover which we celebrate anymore, because our Passover lamb has been sacrificed once and for all in the person of Jesus. So why does Jesus object? Because he wants to bring an end to the whole system of an understanding of sacrifice and of the need to be put right with God in those ways. The Christian no longer had any need of that festival. The Passover has been fulfilled in Jesus. And that's why it's so important that this incident takes place at Passover. It's an important time. Humankind was no longer going to be needing to purge its guilt by the placing onto animals of the blame for their sins. And it's interesting because the cleansing of the temple comes at the end of Jesus' ministry in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John places it at the beginning of his Gospel. He's not interested about the history of where it took place. He's making a theological point at the outset of his Gospel that Jesus is about to change things. The old order is coming to an end and the new order is beginning. Jesus is changing everything. And that which came before is going to be obsolete. Jesus' body will be the new temple. And so he can talk about bringing it down and rebuilding it in 3 days. Of course, the Jewish leaders don't understand what Jesus means when he says he's going to, you know, when you destroy the temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. You think, gosh, it took us 46 years to build this temple. How could he do it in 3 years? They only see the response on a material level. But Jesus has got this really important spiritual message. Look, God's presence on earth isn't signified by a building made with human hands. It's signified by my body. I am God's presence here on earth. Jesus is the new temple. And so Jesus, for us, is the place of our worship. Jesus is, for us, the one true sacrifice. And what will our response be to the message this morning? I'm suggesting that there's perhaps a personal response and a corporate response. And from a personal point of view, Lent is all about awakening ourselves from any kind of spiritual complacency. Each one of us examining our own religious faith and practice, taking to heart the challenge to be cleansed and to be renewed. There's often a presumption that religion in itself is good, but of course religious practice can be very bad. It can be a hindrance and not a help. Religion is not always a good thing. So we have to look inside ourselves and say, the zeal that filled Jesus, is that present in us, wanting to make our lives places of prayer and a meeting place with God? Are we prepared this Lent to allow God by his Holy Spirit to cleanse us? And what prevents us from being better temples? And then, of course, there's the corporate response, ensuring that our worship as a community is acceptable to God, our liturgy celebrated with the correct sense of reverence and preparedness. We need as a church community to be opening and welcoming to those who come in from outside and to strangers. I read one sermon by somebody who was preaching on this morning. And the preacher was reflecting on hospitality to visitors. And he suggested that before we pass the offering plate around in church, we should announce to people who are visitors that we don't expect guests to give because they're guests. Perhaps not. But in what ways can we become more welcoming to people? There's also a need for us to consider righteous anger. Jesus was rightly cross about injustice, extortion, and exploitation of vulnerable people. Do we get angry when we see such things today? Anger at injustice is an appropriate expression of love, a cry for righteousness. Righteous anger isn't a loss of control, getting angry. Jesus isn't out of control at all. But he's justly cross at what he sees. Augustine of Hippo said, Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are Anger and Courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain the way they are. And the cleansing of the temple is a stark warning against any false sense of security, any complacency. Christians are led by the example of Jesus to confront evil and to take the initiative in attacking that which dishonors God in human life. And I think of the phrase by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil in the world is for good men to do nothing. You can see that this is a very appropriate passage for Lent, a challenge to each one of us, personally and as a Christian community. So may God open our eyes to our real selves, that we might discover possibilities for change within ourselves, and may we seek his power in our church community to enable us to be the living witness which he calls us to be. Amen. You can cough now.